0 to 100 back to zero in like 12 seconds.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I said that to Shelby, and this was the funniest thing. And he goes, "That was just Miles screwing around on the airport deal.
Really?
I don't know what the number is. It's just Miles telling me that was the number." So, and he did it with a stopwatch while he's driving. So I was like, "Whoa!" I think it was 13-4. I think that's what.
Yes,
it was.
And that's like that's now set in lore.
Yes,
right. It's actually set in stone.
But Shelby said it was just Miles screwing around on the airport using a stopwatch. I was like,
"Wow,
good, good to hear that." You know that legendary stop
precision,
that precision deal.
Precision,
you know.
Timing.
And he's eating a taco, I think. You know?
Got it.
Yeah. Stopwatch, shifting, drying.
That's right.
Drying,
that's
yeah.
right. That's yeah. right. Dropping Amazing. My groceries and yeah. getting punched by Shelby.
Hey, welcome to Car Guy Confessions, brought to you by ARP. I'm Jeff Smith. This is my car buddy Cam Benzie and car builder Steve Strope, and we're going to tell you some stories.
Welcome to another episode of Car Guy Confessions with Jeff Smith, Steve Strope. My buddy Steve Strope. And what was your name again? Cam Benzie. ARP. So we're at the Grand National Roaster
we
Show.
We are.
And as you can see,
tacos.
We're working through lunch. So
yes.
Actually, it's almost dark outside. It's probably more like dinner now, right?
It's
How long have we been here?
It is in Iowa.
It definitely is in Iowa. Definitely is in Iowa. So we're having a great time. We've already had a bunch of guests.
Yes.
And you know, so we thought, well, let's get, you know, the three amigos back together again for a little bit just to have some fun.
Let's keep the
and we're going to offend you by eating in front of you.
Yes.
So, which you know, I just, okay.
Yes. I already snacked.
I'm staying away from the taco sauce because I've been warned not to do that. So
is that bad?
Well,
is it very hot?
Free world.
Probably.
I don't know.
I don't either. I'm not going to try it on the air, that's for sure. I'm not
gonna
do
got
that.
Some on this one, so.
So
what are we talking about?
How about the adventure I had this morning when I left my wallet at your house?
No.
And oh my God, you know, so it took forever just to get here because I got all the way here and then had to run and go back because
I'm
left
about
my
an hour
wallet.
And a half away from
you. Oh boy, yeah.
Sorry, so, a full day.
And so if your neighbors tell you some guy rolls in a 4x Toyota pickup,
sure.
Because Evan, thank you, Evan Perkins, loaned me his father in law's truck so I could drive out here and go get.
Does he know?
And share this exciting
yes,
story
he does
with
know.
You.
So it's been an eventful day already. Yeah.
Are we in a vibration lab?
Somebody fired up a motor outside, I think is what's going on. Because there's cars, the show's going on around us, literally going around us. So so if it sounds like this is some kind of vibration test, it probably is.
I thought this was an EV
I like
show.
It. And we're out.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. Get the hydrogen cars
Again,
out there.
This is free. That's what you get.
That's right. Yeah. You get all
so,
here.
So
I we, like this.
So we've had a good time. So I, what I've been doing, so I've been out here for a week,
looking for my wallet,
and had a great time interviewing. I'm working on a story. So we'll just kind of cross promote here a little bit. How's that? So doing a story for Hot Rod Magazine on what my working title is the Godfathers of the automatic performance automatic transmission automatic. And so I've talked to.
And who would
to,
they be?
That would be John Kilgore, and not in any particular order. John Kilgore.
Wow.
John Kilgore, Art Carr, Bob Sparr from B&M, and Marv Ripes I had yet to talk to, so I need to talk to Marv. But this has been really special, been really fun. These guys' average age is like 88. Art Carr works every day. He's 90 years old, you know, and these guys are sharp as a tack. I mean, it was fun talking to these guys. And it's all about the beginnings of the high-performance automatic transmission, which started with the GM Hydromatic and what B&M did. If you've ever seen their old logo, it was called the Mechanical Man. And it was a mechanical shifter
right.
because
mm-hmm.
that
sure.
transmission was purely automatic. Oh, it's just been a lot of fun. So the hard part now is condensing all of this history down into one story. But John Kilgore is probably the only one you may not know that much about, but he's done a bunch of stuff in the turbo 400, you know. So that's where it all started with. So,
so these would be the guys in the day.
Early 60s.
Late 50s, early 60s.
Yes, late 50s, early 60s.
Creating the transmissions that would live behind the drag race.
Yep. And like, you know, when K.S. Pittman decided to use a hydro instead of a LaSalle three-speed transmission.
Which I have in my little Model A pickup.
Yeah. And he said he went like a second quicker with the hydro. Wow. And I said, why do you think that was? He says, well, the LaSalles were spindly. They were fragile. And so he said, you couldn't just bang the gears in those transmissions. So you know, this is a gasser. Right, that was before the superchargers, but so they'd have to, you know, wide open throttle and then completely lift, put the clutch in, very gently shift it, let the clutch out, and then get back on the throttle, and all that delay of power as a hydro, you could just drive right through it, and so yeah, amazing stuff. So
amazing.
Speaking of that, I
should bring up his name. I saw something that David Freiberger was talking about.
Yes,
that I had yet to have ever heard, but the term. Drag racing. Do you know what it came from?
Oh, the actual term itself.
The actual term.
No, I don't.
And that was what I
that's what
I
it was
listened,
about.
I listened to him, and
how
it was
simple
like,
is
what
that,
is that?
Right?
What is drag racing? Uh-huh. And I was like, well, what? And the two things that he brought up that made the most sense to me are: one is the racing happened on the main drag
on
in the city,
drag
so the main
town,
drag
right,
of the city,
right.
Or you were beating the guy next to you so much that you were. Dragging him along.
That's it. Wow.
But
okay.
It's funny. It's like, how stupid is that? I mean, we've always talked about, you know, drag racing versus
it
street
very
racing
well be,
and all the other
stuff.
It
could very well be something like that. Yeah.
But you had never heard anything like that?
No. There's
it was funny.
I forget
like,
the guy's name, but there's a very
well-researched. So you two, I don't. I figured you two scholars
nope.
knew the origins of the term.
Mind your tongue.
Drag racing.
No.
Hmm.
Isn't that funny?
Isn't that crazy?
How simple is that?
Yeah.
Should go back to street racing.
Okay.
But street racing is not drag racing.
No, it is not. It is not.
No.
No, very different.
So we'd like to thank our sponsor, ARP and ARP-bolts.com. And I mean, we all three build cars. We all work on this stuff. And
I tinker.
You tinker.
I tinker.
Yes, we all build.
Yeah. And you know what? It's kind of a really cool multiple purpose fastener for me because there's all the science and all the technology, which is bottomless. Trust me. Unbelievable amount of research that they put into these things.
Absolutely.
And on top of it, you get them out of the package and they're absolutely beautiful, which I've joked before. It's like jewelry for your car. And
they're pre-oiled.
When we're building a high-end car, there isn't anything else going on. It's part of the criteria. For me to have them lining the engine bay, not just on the engine, everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
So you get all the strength, the durability, the reliability, and fantastic good looks.
Sure.
Kind of like Jeff here.
And without peer. Without peer.
Anybody else, or pair.
Without
peer. There's nobody else
correct.
That does
that
what
is,
they do.
It is. So check them out at arp-bolts.com, and they can help you out.
Get a turnkey manual transmission conversion from American Powertrain for your muscle car, classic truck, or custom. American Powertrain offers a complete line of parts and accessories handling everything you need from the back of the block to the differential. One of the largest distributors of Tremec transmissions, American Powertrain has the parts you need to install a TKX 5-speed, Magnum T56 6-speed, or anything else you can dream up. They offer custom hydraulic clutches, crossmembers, bell housings, clutches, shifters, crate engines, and more. And remember, save the stick. Check out American Powertrain at AmericanPowertrain.com or call their sales line at 931-646-4836.
And I've got a tidbit of news. Did you see that in Formula One that Ford is coming back?
No.
Yes, 2026.
Wow.
We're making motors, 2026.
They're not building an EV car.
No.
It's going to be
evil,
this is horrible gasoline.
And this is the funny part. It's like we know Ford has had its struggles, shall we say? I mean, they weren't at SEMA because it didn't make sense with a company.
Well,
that's
GM
struggling.
Wasn't either. Chevrolet wasn't there.
Same
None
reason.
None of them are selling cars because they don't have any chips.
Same reasoning.
Lack of profit. Yeah. No money to spend on the
car
show.
How do you do that? I mean, the Ford's here, the Grand National.
Yeah.
They're over here. So that's kind of a nice little deal. But it was interesting. I was reading that deal, but there is a change in the motor protocols in 2026. So Ford is coming back with its own motor. It's a big announcement.
Wow.
So they're going to be in the Red Bull cars. So
really?
Really?
Yeah. Which is a highly competitive car, as we know, from this year.
Wow. Well, we'll watch that tailspin down into a epic losing program.
I just, you know, was hanging out at your house, you know, because you were putting me up. Nice to put me up. That's and I just read the book that you had on Ken Miles.
Yes.
And extremely just a fantastic, cool book.
Super cool book.
What was the guy's name?
Ken Miles.
No. The guy that wrote the book.
Jim remember? Marietta from the original Venice crew was very nice.
Very cool. Yeah, because he was the original photographer at the team, so he had all this great photography of Ken Miles coming
stuff
up through the whole
y'all
thing.
Y'all ain't seen yet.
Yeah, and how his comments about and interviewing guys that were at Le Mans in '66 when Ken Miles kind of got snookered. Yes.
He got
to say it nicely.
Screwed.
Yes, and how the movie really didn't portray it properly.
Yes.
And that BB really got a kind of a bad image out of that movie as well. And at least in the book, they said he was a genuinely nice guy, really liked Ken Miles, but they decided to paint that, you know, and that's artistic Hollywood license.
And the whole deal with the fight and the whole that deal, from the people that I know that have been around that whole deal, they never would have fought. There's no way that Shelby and Miles would have had a fist fight. So that was kind of interesting.
But I could see believable where Ken Miles would throw a wrench at in the pits. I can see that happening.
You bet.
Didn't you say that you went to, they built that facade?
I did. It was out in.
It was the Rialto Airport, wasn't it?
No, it was Agua Dulce.
Agua Dulce.
But they only built one half. So that's a series of the whole CGI thing.
Okay.
Only one half of that facility was there. But it was unbelievably vast. I mean, it was just this huge deal, and it was strong enough that it was three levels, and they had extras all over it.
All over.
It wasn't like a plastic cardboard thing.
Right,
it was
right.
Literally you stand up there and wave.
Wow. What was this? What
that was the at Le Mans, the pits at Le Mans.
The front straight.
When
they were filming that whole
thing,
they built the whole facade.
I have pictures of that. We'll throw those up. We'll throw those up for you to see them. But it was it's
because
pretty amazing.
Remember, I asked you because my buddy Tim Moore, who we has now passed away, but he built a replica GT40, and I went. When you told me about that, I said,
"There you go.
Could we get that car out there to take some pictures?" You said, "No, they didn't want that to happen because they didn't want those photos to get out before the movie came out, which is understandable."
But then I went to France and showed it to the people at the museum.
Really?
I did.
Yeah?
Before the movie came out.
And what did they say?
That blew their minds.
Really?
It was like, what's going on here?
Because it looked really good.
It was in French, so you can't quite get the same deal. It wasn't quite
as
exciting.
How do they say, what, in French? How do they do that?
Oui. Mais oui.
Swear to God.
It's off the rails, man. Have a taco.
Have a taco. Here, have a taco.
We give you tacos and... I don't know what the hell happened to my wife.
I'm afraid to eat. I want to eat it, but I know it's going to happen. I'm going to end up wearing it. So I'm not sure I want to do that.
There you go.
Eat it. Get it over with.
Yep. All among friends, right?
Yeah, that was pretty good. I guess there was a gathering recently of all the old
of engineers.
Tacos? No, of tacos. They were. They're right there. A gathering of all the old Shelby engineers. So they actually pulled it together. I can't.
Yeah.
I've got to get the detail on that, but they actually did have the last living members of that whole deal. So they're all,
and
together.
You know, what does sort of come through in the movie is how good a driver he really was.
Ken
Miles.
Oh,
And in your book, it's like, we go to this road race, USRRC race, and Ken Miles starts fifth and wins. And you know, parts are falling off the car. He crashes it. You know, he's dead last and comes through the field and wins. And it's like
the best thing, which had been said before, but I've got a Mustang project that hopefully is going to be starting up in maybe 6 months or so. And it I have some cool parts that I have obtained.
Really?
Through Mr. Jim Marietta.
Yeah? All right.
But anyway.
You got a crossboss?
No, I do not have a crossboss.
I would love to see one of those. I don't think I've ever seen one of those in person.
I've never seen one
I got
live.
Stuff cool enough. Don't worry. Anyway.
I have other cool stuff.
Quiet, you. I had heard the stories before, but when they came out with the Cobra, and they were just gut punching the Corvettes, that they were just coming in and just checking the fan belts because they had nothing better to do.
Right.
Because they're like laps and laps in front of them. It's like, oh no, check the thing. Give me some tea.
just to try and make it interesting.
Yeah, well, he's such a commanding driver. Like, clearly the car was, doing its job, but he was just running away with everybody.
Yeah.
And he is probably the, and I was very happy about that, even with all the Hollywood that can make things go sideways and storytelling, they did show, I thought they did a pretty good job of making sure everyone knew Ken was a pretty badass driver and was celebrated as, and should be celebrated as such. But he, what were they telling me about him? He was very, very funny, and he was not, I guess he wasn't horrifically egotistical about it. And he, but he just wanted to go out and win and race. And they're like calling him in into the pits. And he's like, what? I don't got a problem. They're like, we got to check the, turn it off. We got to check the fan belt. He's like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
I'm killing him. He's like,
In the book, where the race was, I want to say Watkins Glen, but it may not have been. But after the race was over, the Shelby team went out and built a headstone, essentially what looked like a headstone in the dirt, and then it said, "Here lie the Corvettes."
Oh,
because he just buried them. they weren't very happy about that,
and they did. They really did.
Well, he was you amazing. Know, for me, from everything that I could read and then talking to people like Jim, I think he was cut from the same cloth as, and I say this with respect, and I mean it as the compliment that it's meant, as Senna. He's a very naturally gifted driver who understood the car, unweighing and weighing and digging, and he could feel every limit of traction and exploit it constantly. But what made him so valuable, besides the obvious racing skill, is he was, as the test driver, feeding back when they're prototyping the stuff, going, the GT40. That's not working. Even the Daytona Coupe.
And even the
Cobra itself, you know, breaking crap when they're trying to get it to go faster. And this isn't working. This is working. This is telling Phil, I'm sure, Remington, this is what it's doing. Mm-hmm. And he was obviously able to communicate what he felt. So accurately,
which is not easy to do when you got 100% concentration trying to keep from, you don't kill yourself,
right?
And then come back and tell them what's going on, you know.
Right. Well, that's so a good driver.
That communication with Phil, as the he's lead engineer for all intents and purposes, as far as I know, was obviously pinnacle to all of those vehicles' success out on the track when other people were driving them and racing them. They created such a well engineered car in such a fast amount of time, especially with the coupe.
Yes.
90 days.
Yes. Fast.
You know, Shelby gave Brock a wrecked Cobra and said, there you go. Yeah.
And there was photographs in the book of him sitting in the car and
the saying, piece of wood.
Yeah. The piece of wood over the top. This is how tall it can be.
Fascinating. Right.
Yeah. Oh man.
Well, what a great team.
I did a story with Shelby for Rob Canaan. He was at Hot Rod. He said, find some good classic photos and then have Shelby give you captions for them. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of really interesting things that he said. One of the things was he actually kicked Brock in the knees and said that the car should have, the coupe should look more like the 917 than the coupe that it looks like now, which a lot of people gave me a lot of flack on, but it's like, that's what he said, man. So I'm just telling you what he said. But the thing that was funniest to me about that whole deal was I remember talking to him because it was the 289s that were the fast cars. The 427s did not. 427s didn't have the record.
Because there was so much weight on the front end.
Right. Yeah. So it was the 289s that set all the records and really were the big race winners. But I remember saying to him, I was saying, I remember you guys having that deal where it was 0 to 100 back to zero in like 12 seconds.
Yeah.
So I said that to Shelby and this was the funniest thing. And he goes, that was just Miles screwing around on the airport deal.
Really?
I don't know what the number is. It's just Miles telling me that was the number. So, and he did it with a stopwatch while he's driving. So I was like, whoa. I think it was 13-4. I think that's what it was.
And that's now set in lore.
Yes,
right. It's actually set in stone.
But Shelby said it was just Miles screwing around on the airport using a stopwatch. I was like,
wow.
Good to hear that. You know, that legendary stop.
Precision.
Precision deal.
Timing.
Instrumentation. And he's eating a taco.
Got it.
Yeah. Stopwatch, shifting, drying.
That's right. That's right. Dropping my groceries and getting punched by Shelby.
Hey, we'd like to thank our sponsor, ARP-Bolts.com. We got a fantastic little backdrop here. They make an outstanding series of bolts, almost anything you would need for engines, chassis, things like that. In fact, we were at lunch today, and a guy asked you about the bolt on the back of your shirt, and it was, and I said, well, it's really about a head bolt. They neck the stem down of the bolt on a short small block Chevy head bolt, so the clamp load is even across three different head bolt lengths on a small block Chevy. And, you know, so that's the kind of technology that you get out of ARP. And we've all got stories on all that stuff.
But, for a translation of what he said, call ARPbolts.com.
But the message is that you can't get any better than that.
No, you cannot.
There you go.
Nope. Excellent.
And then just check them out at ARP-bolts.com. We'd like to thank our friends at InTheGarageMedia.com. They have three fantastic magazines. They've got Classic Truck Performance, they have Modern Rodding, and my favorite, All Chevy Performance, with Nick, my buddy Nick,
who's the editor. Oh, you're so biased.
So, correct. Yes, of course. Yes. But they're doing print media, which is, of course, our favorite. So,
in color and everything.
In color and everything. Yes. And you can get your car on the cover of one of those books, right. Which is right. A fun
that's
deal.
A lot. Great tech.
Great tech. By you know, not always written by me, but yeah. People. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
always written by me.
That's right.
Just so pick it up and read it.
At yes. InTheGarageMedia.com, and they're our friends, and they will thank you. Oh, man.
Yeah, just
but
it
that
on.
Was a great book, though. So, I mean, you know, it's worth it. Worth, if you're interested in all of that stuff, yeah, because
I
there's a lot of inside.
I think
he's
released them. So,
you should be able to find them online.
Original Venice Crew.
Yes. And just a bunch
and it's
of
a
photography.
New book on Ken Miles.
Ken Miles. Yep.
And it's really, really cool. Nice. Very in-depth
and
on Miles.
You got something special with yours.
Yeah. Yeah. A lock really
hair?
Cool aluminum.
Well, it's an aluminum.
Like an aluminum cradle for the book.
That the book goes in. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Built, that's cool.
I don't
built
know
10
how many
of them,
did,
something
but
like
I
that?
Don't know. I don't
wow.
think.
So you're special.
Yeah. Oh, I'm special.
Sweet. Yeah.
Jim Dandy.
So in other news,
yes.
Now going forward to today, we just heard that GM is going to do a Gen 6 small block.
Yes.
So, and there was a picture of the of them unveiling like the front and half of the front leading edge and the trailing edge of the block.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait,
it was like,
let me get this right, because I live in a obviously in a cornfield somewhere.
In an alternative universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're in Iowa, Four. Too.
And touche, sir.
Yes, yes. Yes, my hometown is 90 people.
And you know them all.
And I actually don't. I don't.
Hermit.
But I'm known as the
weirdo.
The crazy guy from California. Yeah.
Oh,
did
perfect.
You tell him about, did you tell him about my John Deere tractor I saw at CES?
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Get
oh, no, 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 I didn't.
No,
no.
This is John Deere tractor. This is John Deere tractor. Well, it's a combine. It's,
you sent me those images.
Consumer electronic. I went to the consumer electronics show. I'll fill you in with some of that stuff. And like the
they
BMW.
Did.
Yes, they did. They did a full tractor in their booth that had the arms. You know the big arms that go out through the field, and the arms have cameras in them, and the cameras go along, and when
decapitate
it's,
the rabbits.
It's pretty close. What it does is when it spots a plant that is not wanted, like a weed,
yes,
it sprays pesticide on it. So you can be driving along,
it says
takes
eliminate.
A picture, takes a picture,
nice.
Kills. It's a killing machine. So anyway, 12 miles an hour.
Even with current,
12 miles
current,
an hour.
Yeah. Current, well, that's pretty fast.
Slamming tractor.
Yeah. That's right, you killing weeds.
Iowa tractor people know these things.
What were we talking about? We were talking about Gen 6.
Gen 6 motors.
What I was baffled about.
Yes, he was.
Since I thought, you know, our big three have already said, that's it. It's
yes,
only
no
electric
more,
now.
No
we're
more
into,
IC.
We're into
no,
strip mining now.
Right, right.
And we want to ravage the planet and, you know.
And turn electric,
that.
Yet we're still going to build a new gasoline engine.
No, not just that. We're going to go racing where we're just using fossil fuels for no good reason.
Right.
Right. Not ambulances.
GM's
nothing important.
GM's investing $1 billion
in the plants.
Combustion engine.
Yes, in like.
Is that a dirty secret?
Four different plants. Four different plants.
Oh, well, of course. Let alone Benz, I think Porsche too, but Benz is sinking a lot of money in a synthetic fuel.
Yes. Yes.
Hydrogen too.
Hydrogen electric is getting hot too.
So, you know, there's still
let alone
for the
Honda.
Ice.
Honda's went on record, and so did Porsche, going, "This is nonsense,
this is not going to work."
Mm-hmm. No, it's not going to work.
Yeah,
you can say everything you want, but it's not going to work.
It's interesting. My perspective is a little bit different. You know, drive in Los Angeles, and I'm astounded with how, because I only come out here about 3-4 times a year, and I'm astonished with the number of Teslas I see on the road now.
No,
I mean, it seems like they're
everywhere. I'm not, because you're in Southern California.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still relative to where I come from. And then the converse of that is I drive down the highway to 18 miles to get to my local gas station, and every third vehicle
is a big vehicle,
2500 series truck pulling a trailer that's probably carrying 18,000 pounds. And it's like electric trucks are not going to be able to do that. Imagine trying to tow an 18,000 pound trailer in the dead of winter when it's 5 above zero. You know, when your battery efficiency is down about 30%,
you wouldn't get
to town. You wouldn't make it. You would not make it. So it's not really viable. Now, if you want to run this internal combustion engine on some other alternative fuel, or it just gets so much more efficient, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, the hydrogen side of it was discussed a lot at CES. A lot of the cars had hydrogen electric. That was their new thing. Of course, hydrogen is not as easy to get. You know, it's
well, there's also something called green hydrogen, and I don't exactly know where that comes from, but there's
did
hydrogen
that you
can
generate. Ethanol and methanol? You know,
possibly.
Seemingly.
Yeah. So, but I'm still up on building a 14-1 compression E85 motor and say, well, there you go. Now let's totally renewable fuel.
Sure.
And I think if I built a street motor at 14-1 compression ratio, I could get the kind of fuel mileage that size engine could get on gasoline because of the additional compression.
Right.
So it's going to raise the efficiency, bring it up to a level that would be comparable to a gasoline engine. So
that'd be good.
Yeah.
You going to do that?
I think so because my pals, I'm looking through the Mahle catalog, after the MPMC conference, well, they've got a piston here. I can run a 6-liter with 14-1 compression, without having to build a custom piston.
There you go.
It's like,
nice.
Yeah, we should do that.
Absolutely.
So I'll put that on my list of
please
things
do
to do.
Yeah.
So what's this motor going to be used for, this new one?
What, the Gen GM
6?
One?
The Gen 6. Yeah, what's it for?
My
said
guess
commercial?
Is going to be
said commercial,
mostly
but,
commercial.
But it's
so
going to
be trucks.
It'll
so
be just going to be a truck.
2,500. 2,500 and larger.
Just a truck motor.
Yeah.
Do we know how big it's going to be?
Look what Ford just did with that 7.3 liter motor.
Yes.
The what do they call it? Godzilla. Godzilla engine.
They do.
Pushrod, cam and block, pushrod, two-valve motor.
Yes.
7.3 liters. And the performance industry is going crazy over this motor.
Sure.
It's become a new platform. People
absolutely
are really into that whole deal.
Of course, we're 0.1% of the marketplace, but still.
Sure.
It's like it makes perfect sense because you can't do an electric commercial vehicle at 2,500 series that's pulling a 30,000-pound trailer. You're just not going to be able to do it. I got a kick out today coming here, racing to try and get here after, coming back. And it was
After the wallet debacle.
And racing down the freeway, I'm pulled alongside a gooseneck truck with three Teslas on the back being pulled by a diesel Ram truck. And I thought,
balances out.
I thought that was really a kick.
Yeah, don't light them on fire, please.
No,
bad.
All on their own. I don't.
Yeah,
mean,
it'll be
they
bad.
Actively
yeah.
try
apparently
to light
don't
them on fire.
Need any
that'll
help with that.
That's
so.
What I'm saying. They seem to like to do that.
Yeah.
Or,
so,
oh well.
So at CES, I got to witness the first electric solar car. It's going to have solar panels. It was funny. They were showing it. They market.
What about
stuff.
Nighttime?
Yeah. Well, supposedly he stores it up, but that's where the electricity it goes into the batteries, and then it hangs around. But it was funny because they had this one that they were showing you that was their prototype that they're actually building in like Norway or someplace. So you can buy it.
There's not a lot of sun.
No, there's not a lot of sun in Norway. I'm thinking this is a bad idea.
I was wondering the logic
idea.
On this breakdown
bad
already.
Idea. That was and it was funny because they had the actual production car that's going to be available in 2025, that's this solar battery vehicle, and they put it behind like little pieces of wood about this far away. It was in jail. It's like you get an eye in there and you stick your eye in. But it was like, what was the point of this? You get to see a little vignette of this car and no purpose. It's like
clearly
it
makes
exists.
You want it more.
Oh, gosh.
By holding it away, right? Do you remember the electric car race that they did down in Australia about, 30 years ago?
Mm-mm. Remember that?
No.
Because GM built a car. It was an experiment to see if you could run the electric vehicles, and they did it in the Outback because lots of sun. You remember that? Because a GM car looked just like a cockroach.
Yes.
You know, because it had nothing but solar cells on it. But it worked.
I
and
do
the guy
remember
actually
that.
Laid
yes.
down.
Yes.
The guy actually laid down because the frontal area was like this, right. You know, because they wanted to make it, and it was hard rubber tires and all that crazy stuff.
Perfect
but,
for the 7-Eleven.
Yes. But, I mean, the point was these are development vehicles, blah, blah, blah. Sure. The fact that they did it and it achieved the, I forget
that's
who won.
Like covered with kangaroo guts.
Now, how do you put a rhubarb on the front of an electric car?
That would like be, that? Like, scoop them up and slide them off.
Because I need a deer bar. Seriously. I mean, they're telling me, I say, you need one of these because I live on Deer Run Road. And, you know, it's they all perfect. Tell me, the locals all tell me, it's not an if, it's when. It's right. when, yeah. So I live in abject terror of
perfect.
Driving any of
that
my cars.
That sounds like back home in Appalachian.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
It's a deer fest.
Yeah.
And
by the way, in our midst, we have another Appalachian boy.
Yeah,
who's
yeah,
laughing because right. he knows all about. He knows where my. That. He knows where my house yeah. is.
There are more than one.
Plenty of.
Oh,
touché. And again, touché. Touché.
Okay, okay. And who is this that we're talking about?
His name's Eric. He's over there.
Okay.
Say all hi, right. Eric.
Hi. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Eric.
There we go.
The other Appalachian
building Mopar. Building
yeah,
Mopar.
He's building that. Bed, some bitch mobile
yeah,
with me.
Yeah. yeah,
nice.
Yeah, gonna be really nice. Anyway,
how fun is that?
Well, better than so your kangaroo
speaking,
cut.
speaking of cars, let's
we do
talk
that
about
here.
Your Chevelle that's at the show we, here. Yeah,
sure.
Talk about your car.
I have a Chevelle. Actually, yeah. I don't have. A
no,
Chevelle.
It's your customer's car.
I have a customer who has yeah. a Chevelle.
It's very nice. 67.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It's a
car.
Very nice 67 Chevelle that we had up at SEMA. But as you know, it's a kind of a closed deal up there.
Yeah.
So, we brought it out here for people to enjoy and see, second owner car was originally turquoise on turquoise, plain Jane Malibu and amazingly clean shape. And now it's turquoise on like a white and turquoise interior. I did designed with Eric Brockmeyer, Gabe's did the interior, of course, paint by Mick Jenkins, so yeah. it's shiny and beautiful.
Yep.
Good, straightforward, very, very relatable muscle car. Lots of people coming up to me. That's like my high school dream car.
Yeah.
Right.
So
you said that.
Yes. Well, you have one. That was your high school. Anyway.
66. There you go.
So 511 yeah. inch big block with Webers.
Wow.
Carbureted. Nice. Which is a lot of fun. Yeah. 5-speed Detroit speed suspension, Wilwood brakes, JRI coilovers.
So
it'll get out of its own way. And of course, my favorite.
TKX.
Yes. No, it's not a new TKX.
Oh, it's not?
It's just a TKO.
Oh, really? Yep. Really? Okay.
Well, I started the cart, you know, like a year and a half ago.
Before they introduced it.
What do you want from
me? Right at. Okay.
So, but. Acceptable. Vintage air, Dynamat, kicker sound system in it. So nice. Get in, turn the key, plenty of power. Really nice go down the road car that really, really pleased with it. It came out and, you know, polished ET five spokes
yep.
on it.
Yep.
Good, straightforward car. But you know what? I got it's funny when I bring out a car like that. And this one's a great example. A lot of people, especially friends within the industry, are like, oh, I love this car. And I'm like, right. and I know what's around me at these shows, mm-hmm. you know, and there's, you know, the double throwdown, you know, engine cover twin turbos, which I've done cars at that level too.
Sure.
And I'm like, really? And they're like, no, that thing just, you know, in 20 years from now, it's still going to look
well,
good. There's nothing
and
to date.
Because it's a real car too.
Yeah, it is a real car.
I mean, I don't know how
the
you
colors are pretty.
I don't know how you define that other than, I could jump in it and drive it to the grocery store if I wanted to.
What it is.
Whereas an amber car, you wouldn't dare to do
it
that.
It was at SEMA and here, it's relatable.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's a much better term.
And any fan of this stuff, it's relatable. And the engine's special enough to give it that, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, when you got a big block with Webers, that's not very often. And I know why, because we had to fiddle with
it. Just sink those.
Yeah, well, luckily I've got an absolute genius that every car he owns has Webers on it, so he's fantastic.
So but they're
we still
cars.
Had to,
they're not, they're
we had to
easy.
We had to machine that intake. Yeah. We had to take a bunch off the pad. It's one of the Inglis intakes.
Okay,
and to get the carbs to fit, we had to shorten the bells and because I didn't want a cowl hood, I didn't want the bubble SS hood because it's a Malibu. So. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to sit there like, oh, that's a really pretty car. It's really nice. You crack the hood and they're
like, and you didn't do what everybody does, which is put an SS hood on it.
No SS tail panel. Nope. Kept it plain Jane Malibu and the aluminum trim down the lower side of the car that everybody gets rid of.
Yep.
I wanted it to be proud that it was just a Malibu and that it looks good like it is, and definitely visually walk softly and carried a big stick, because when you open the hood or when you get up to the interior, it's another little world. Yeah. And that's what kind of boosts it and made it special. And I've again been very fortunate. A bunch of different magazines. I think I got 3 magazines I want to feature it now.
Cool. So,
and it's for the same thing. It's very attractive. The colors work, but it's very relatable. The guy, it's got enough special stuff going on to be cool, but it's related. The guy, the initial first blush.
Yes, because they're cool Chevelle. They're going to read the story and say, I could build a car like that.
Right, tubbed. It's got 275s on it. Mm-hmm. You know, 17s and 18s, nothing ludicrous. So everything somebody could, you know, like when I was reading, when you guys were putting the magazines and I'm reading, there's the awesome stuff that's tubbed and cut and dropped and blown and everything else. And then there's the other cars that were also set cool. And I'm like, oh, I can do that and that and that at home. I can make it sit like that. I can do that. And so the relatable stuff lets you play with your stuff at home and start fiddling.
And speaking of relatable cars, like I walked over the building real quick.
You mean the T70?
Yeah, that's very relatable.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. That caught my eye. I just wanted to.
Well, Scott Sullivan's got his 61 here.
Yeah.
Not his car.
Built for a customer.
Built for a customer. And I got a chance to see it for like 5 minutes.
It's always just amazing, a spectacular colors, car. Almost always super tasteful.
So 409. Nice. Four speed.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was calling me ahead of time going, you know, we got a flat tap of camshaft in this thing. How do we break it in? And so I was doing some stuff. I said, I'm going to tell you a bunch of stuff. You're going to hate me because I'm telling you to take the inner springs out, you know, and soften it up. Mm-hmm. And so it was fun to see the car in live in person, you know, and it's just.
And his usage of colors.
Oh, yeah.
And how he alters little things in the dash and just, bottomless, tasteful.
And like, things. You know, he pulled the rear license plate in and put a panel.
Put a panel around it.
Yeah. And because somebody was asking me, it's like, is that stock? No, not stock. No. And he probably fit the bumper to the body and all things that you don't, don't pick out.
Scott is the king of 2%.
Yeah. Yeah.
2%, 2%, 2%. And I remember an interview, and I thought it was with you or in Hot Rod or a quote, but he said something along the lines of, I go out of my way to spend 1,000 hours to do something you're never going to notice.
Yep.
You're never going to see.
Yep.
And I agree with that, because if it looks like it belongs there, then as a designer or engineer or fabricator, you did your job right, because it mends into the scenery properly instead of, you know, neon pink wing. Clearly that didn't come with it. You know?
Right, exactly.
Well, your style. I mean, this is definitely your kind of style. Oh, that's exactly what you do with your cars.
I've said in a million interviews and stuff that I am, I was really, really inspired by Scott Sullivan when I was younger, and he had his, the first Nova, the tub car.
The 66 car.
Right. Yeah. And then of course, Cheese Whiz. And then I remember, I swear, I was in Canfield, and I'm on the one end of the field. And if you remember, in Canfield, everybody went through registration and came across the back of that, the bleachers for the horse track, right?
And you came in right there.
And you came in through here, and then you went to wherever in the field you're going to sit. Uh-huh. I'm way over here. You can see the grandstand, the back of it over here.
Uh-huh.
And I see this black 57 slinking around the corner. And it's just all sorts of, I don't care if it's where, it's all sorts of fucking badass. I mean, I went, that's Scott Sullivan.
Yeah.
And there's no way it's not Scott Sullivan. Yeah,
just by the stance.
And it was a black 57 with polished torque thrust. And that thing just looked evil every 6 ways from Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's Scott Sullivan. Sure enough, he pulls up with his shit-eating grin. And then he opened the hood and he had that
Super
palm trees on acid.
Yep.
Is what he called
the super.
What he called the airbrushing and the motors, like this crazy colors.
And it had some turquoise in it because the interior was turquoise.
Well, he had that doily interior, factory in totally stone stock, except for like 22 speakers hidden all over the place.
Yeah. That was That was a crazy
king
car.
Of subtle.
Yes.
But it's not subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
But subtle. And all his tasteful stuff. So
you bet.
I definitely really enjoyed that styling.
Yep. Yep. Well, it's like when I was in college, I had a writing instructor that said, kill your babies. And I never understood what that meant. But in the car world, writing instructor, where he would say, if you come up with this great line, mm-hmm. it overpowers the story.
Sure.
And then all people remember is your line, but not the meat of what your story is. So kill your babies. And that 2%, that subtleness, is exactly that.
Sure.
So I'm not going to overstate this because it doesn't need.
Everything's for the car. Everything's for the program. Everything's for the whole design that he wants you to get when it comes in. Mm-hmm. And I tell younger guys, I've had a lot of guys that come up and they're like, oh, you design? I'm like, oh, whatever I do. But I try to tell them that it's all about the whole package, and your details make the whole package, not stand. It's the same with cooking. You shouldn't taste that spice. It should be part of the thing.
Right.
And so
it's
under,
almost like you're searching for it. You can taste it, but you're not sure what it is.
Understanding that is a real big deal. Yeah, yeah. Aforementioned tacos.
I'm good. Somebody's gonna wear those.
But I that thing's big to me. That whole, like I said, that whole 2%.
Yeah.
Understanding that it's part of the program, and for me, something I think I got aware of. When I would look at stuff you guys would print, or when I would see something like Sullivan's car come around that corner, mm-hmm. For this particular weirdo world of cars and hot rods and street mm-hmm. machines,
sure. where you can do anything you want,
right? But it's evoking emotion.
Yeah,
when I'm sounds goofy, but I mean sure. it, and you guys know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
when
absolutely.
I saw Sullivan's car come around that corner, I went. Whoa.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it was, I went out loud. I went, whoa. You know, yeah. It was just like a shark coming around the corner. Like, oh, that thing's awesome.
And everybody gets geeked in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I was building that 420 inch motor. I bought the parts to, no, I'm sorry. It was a 5 liter I did for Hot Rod. Right. And I got a rotating assembly from Crower. So it was this beautiful crank and these fantastic rods and these pistons, and they're all laid out on the bench, you know. And my first wife came over to visit the shop, you know, was probably brought the kids to let's go to lunch, you know, and I'm geeking out, right? I'm showing her all these parts, and she looked at me and went, this is what gets you excited, you know. And it's like, yeah, it's cool as hell. You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
I know you don't understand this, but I don't want to build the motor. I want to just put this stuff under glass. Yeah.
That T70.
Oh, the Lola. What he's referring to is
so
in my
awesome.
Booth here at the Grand National.
What is that doing in your booth? Yeah. What is that doing? Why is it here?
Why
are we here? To blow up basketballs. No.
Well, that's old Bill Cosby.
Yeah,
that's right.
Cosby.
To inflate basketballs and footballs.
I like that.
A very good friend of mine, also a customer, his name is Steve Sennett, and he has a wonderful collection of vintage race cars. And in that collection, he has the, if I have this correct, the winningest Lola T70 Mark III coupe in right. history. It is right. the Bonaire car.
So we'll have to do a picture. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So people
well,
see what
I'll tell pictures. You the picture yeah. to get. It's actually, if I have to, I'll take a picture and send you the picture.
Yes.
I've known of this car long before I met him. He's on the cover of one of my sports car books. And that car has all four wheels off the ground at Nuremberg.
Oh,
And yeah. it was raced by Bonaire. He got it from Lola in 1969. It's one of the original 16, and it won all over the world where it yeah. was raced.
This is a Mark III, is
it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, coupe.
With a small block Chevy in it.
Small block, yeah. 305, even though Steve told me from, I think, once or twice in its life that it actually had a big block in it. When the class allowed, oof,
yeah, man.
Because
it probably weighs, what, maybe 1,700 pounds?
It's 1,600.
1,600 pounds with, 16, let's say,
right about 500 horsepower. And everyone in today's day, they're like, that can't be fit. I'm telling you right now, you'll pee yourself.
Oh,
you apply throttle on that car.
So then imagine, put a big block behind it where 500 happens at like
3,000 RPM.
I think the term would be concerning.
Yes, yes.
So he also has an original Bruce McLaren-driven McLaren Can-Am car with the not Alcola, Reynolds.
Reynolds.
Oh, okay. Reynolds aluminum big block.
Yeah.
What's the monocoque body do? What's
so that's why it's here.
Okay.
Because there's a tub. Because you're going to mix it to it.
Yes.
That's he has a he has a tub that is, again, making sure I say this correctly. The tub was built by the gentleman who was hired by Lola for the continuation program of the T70. So that is built all but exactly the same way that 1969 one was built in 69. Mm-hmm. He has a complete body. Yeah. It's not brand new, but it's newer than 1969.
Yeah. Okay.
He has a complete body
built on the plans.
Right. The body is from the molds from Lola.
Wow.
And he has a complete 1969 suspension. Wow. And a whole bunch of other stuff that you can't get your hands on.
So he's got and all he will sell you
what we're working together. You will purchase the body, the tub, and the other stuff for X amount, and then I will be paid Y amount to put it together for you to build the car, and what you get is invaluable because Steve's 5 miles from my shop, mm-hmm. so arguably the world's leading Lola expert will be overseeing.
Right there.
And any part we don't have that we need to copy, we are allowed to go to his number one and copy the part from it.
Sounds like CAD-CAM. CAD cam.
Could be. But we could literally take whatever it is we're missing,
right.
scan it, copy, or if it needs to be. The thing is though, visually though, if it needs to be made in TIG because it needs to look proper, then it'll be
then
made
that's
that
what
way.
Do. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or any aluminum piece that needs to fill
How
a plate
cool
or whatever.
That?
Sure.
So an amazing opportunity for me.
Yeah, no kidding.
And the cool thing is brand new, the yellow car and this one you would build. They are completely street legal.
They are
headlights, turn signals, wipers, brake lights, and that car has a license plate on it.
Because FIA required that in order for you to race. Yeah.
So
those cars are so
cool.
And
I'll tell you, at the price that you would buy the parts from him and pay me to finish it would be drastically lower than even attempting to purchase the original.
That's right. Sure.
So due to the fact the original one's not even for sale.
No doubt. McQueen had one of those.
So it's
McQueen
a neat
had one of those?
No, really?
Yeah, Tower used to fix it.
your friend Bill Tower.
Bill Tower used to fix it all the time, but he said that as per usual with actors and such, they don't pay. So one day McQueen shows up and his motor is missing. It was nearby. He put it back in. He got a check. And then went back
so
in.
It was kind of a subtle message.
It was like, that bill that you haven't paid. How many times has that happened?
That's funny. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure quite often. Yeah.
Anyway.
So it's a lot of fun having that car.
No
I love kidding. Looking at it.
Yes, just staring at it. There's you're talking about things that get you excited.
The cool thing is for me too, that is a ludicrous piece of history.
Oh yeah.
That's
huge.
Race history. Yeah. That's dumb history.
I go to Monterey like every third year, go to the historics up there. And the McLaren.
He runs that.
Does he?
Yeah, he drives that. Yeah. Well, there's only one car in the collection he doesn't run, and that's the McLaren, because that car scares him.
Really?
Well, this car's 16 with 500 and some horsepower, and the McLaren's like 11 or 1,000 pounds, and it's got 1,100.
Yeah, there you go.
Jeez, naturally aspirated.
That was one of the things in
those guys were out of their minds.
Ken Miles' book where they put an aluminum 390 in, I can't remember which car. It was either a GT40. I forget. Or maybe it was a Cobra. No, it was a GT40 body, a chassis. And they took it to Riverside. And he accelerated out of the pits and just lit the tires up.
Yeah.
And came back and said, this needs a ton of work because it was so much power.
Right.
Yeah, and probably the same weight because it was an all aluminum 390 engine.
Yeah, the Can-Am stuff. Those guys were out of their minds.
Just crazy. Yeah, yeah.
But I got the big loop sign. I got told that we got to shut up. So.
Really?
Whoop-de-doo.
We burned through our time already, and I still haven't eaten my tacos.
It's like running it.
You know what you do? Was it the old routine? Wasn't it Steve Martin who said you put a slice of bologna in each foot and then you feel funny?
What?
That's how he gets his motivation.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. That's how we're closing out, really.
So do what the talk is.
Put those in my shoes.
Please don't put those on. Please don't.
No, I want to eat them.
Yes,
please eat those.
But
please
off air.
Please do with the hot sauce.
Well, we've had way too much fun as usual, and we're bringing in some other fun people to talk to here.
We're
at the Grand National Roaster Show.
We've reached our limit. There's no more fun people.
There's no more fun people. This is it. We burned through all the fun people.
We did. We got guys from Appalachia here.
Now see here.
Are there any more funny ones?
Look here. I don't even get paid for this. Oh wait, I do.
Okay.
Can I get fired?
Enough. You're running out of film?
We'll have you talk to HR afterwards.
Okay, so first of all, we want to thank our friends at ARP-Bolts.com. We couldn't do this without them, right? Absolutely couldn't
probably
do this without
not.
Them. No. Yeah. So they're funding this whole operation.
Yeah,
so, and we've got people clawing at the door to come in to talk to us.
Clawing.
I mean, literally. Yes, yeah. Yes. So, but we want to thank our friends at the Grand National Roaster Show for helping us out here. John Buck and Kevin Doyle, yeah. Yep. Especially Kevin Doyle, because I borrowed his car for a whole week and put like 2,000 miles on it.
Thank you, Kevin. Yes.
So thank you,
very
Kevin.
Much. Yes.
And, you know, we're just going to have some more fun here. And,
you bet.
I'm going to take a chill pill so I can eat
no,
my tacos.
No, don't do that.
Oh, don't do that? Okay.
Just
all right.
Keep
all right.
going.
So thanks for watching and, you know, click the like button, do all that good stuff, and we'll keep telling you stories.